Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I greet each and every one of you in the name of Jesus. And thank you for being here. You know, I bring glad tidings from Emery, who could not be here this morning. But he says that he is here with you in spirit and in thought. So I praise the Lord for that. Not what is it he's doing in Emory's life. It's kind of tough being in the state, in the state that he's in. And for those that are, you know, in a paralyzed or in a paralytic state, I have a new appreciation for people that are, you know, that are. And I won't even say suffering that way. You know, they are where they are. And for those that know the Lord Jesus, you know, they find it a beautiful thing to just be able to worship the Lord, you know, where they are, just where they are. And so, you know, Emery finds himself in the same way. So if you're praying for him, continue to pray. It's an uphill battle, and we're doing it together. You know, sometimes the days are a little bit rough, but God is good, you know, and we manage to get through the day with a smile, you know, with a laugh and a smile, you know, so it's good. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be here in your presence, and for everyone that is here, dear Lord, those that are watching wherever they are, dear God, I ask that you bless them, dear Lord. Those that could not make it, I ask that you touch them. Have your way in our lives, dear God, as we get into your word. I promised my husband that I wouldn't be long, so help me to mind the time and to give what it is that you have placed on my heart for your waiting congregation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The sermon is, the wait is over. Jesus has come. And that's taken from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Now from the King James Version, it reads, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." And the message Bible reads thusly, "Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden break can turn life around." And I really like the way that reads. I mean, just to know that God can turn things around. There's a song that's sung by, I can't remember the name of the group, but it says that that God will turn it around, whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstance is, you know. And with this, it would be a negative circumstance, and they're singing, "God will turn it around." And so it is with unrelenting disappointment that causes the heart to be sick, or causes heartbreak, but a sudden good break, God can turn it around. Now I want to talk a little bit about hope deferred and what it does. When this question is asked of any child, and I can attest to that because I went through it as a young child, you know, "What would you like for Christmas?" Anybody experience that question? What would you like for Christmas? Not just as a child, but as an adult, you know, a teenager, whatever, you know. And, you know, you get a myriad of answers, you know, from the types of toys that you want, or to what you would like to get your parents or your friends, or, you know, your sister or your brother or whatever, you know. Or sometimes the answer is, "I don't know. You know, I have to think about that," because when when in talking to my siblings, especially as of late, and asking them, you know, what it is that you want, you know, and, you know, some might have an answer, others might be, I don't know, just whatever. Well, we say the same thing about my dad and my mom. And, you know, we're trying to think of what is it that they might like for Christmas? And the answer is always, we just don't know. Because here it is that two people that have everything, I mean, any and everything that they could ever want or need, they have it. They have a house. They have a car. You know, they have food. They have clothing. They have everything. So what is it that you would get people that have everything? And that could be anybody. You know, you just don't know. And so that could be, you know, that could be one of the answers, you know. Also, there's the discussion of how long it takes for Christmas to come, especially for children. A whole nother year, they would say despairingly. It seems like a lifetime to a child. I know it did for us. It seemed like Christmas was crawling each and every day. Well, when is it going to be Christmas? When is it going to be Christmas? You know, it seemed like it was just on a slow uphill crawl for December 25th to get here. Well, the first part of the scripture, as we read it, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when we look at those words, hope deferred and sick, we see that there are several meanings or several definitions here. First of all, hope. Hope is the expectation or the desire or the longing that we have when we're in the active waiting, active looking, active searching or seeking or thinking about what's to come. So the expectation that hope gives is what goes on within us. You know, when I'm looking for a new car, my hope is to get another Prius. You know, because I love Priuses. So I'm hoping that when the time comes for me to get a new car, my expectation or my longing, my desire is to get another Prius. You know, then we look at deferred. And deferred could either be a negative or a positive. But here, the psalmist is looking at it from a negative standpoint. Deferred means to put off or delay or drag out. You know, when you're looking for an answer from someone, you ask them a question and they put off answering, or they delay in their answer, you know. Or they kind of drag out a conversation that you're having so that you don't exactly get what it is that you're looking for from them. So that's what deferred means, to put off, to delay, or to drag out. And then sick, of course, we know what sick means. It means unwell or ailing or out of sorts. You know, so when we put it together, hope deferred makes the heart sick. It breaks the heart. It causes one to be, you know, sad or downtrodden, or even to the point of unbelieving sometimes that things will happen. Like the children of Israel during the time when they were in Egypt, they never thought that they would get out of the situation that they were in. They went into Egypt a few number. It was only a few people that actually went into Egypt, and then they began to multiply and multiply, and eventually Pharaoh got sick of this, you know, because he needed, you know, he was like, we got to do something about this. We got to, you know, change their whole situation, which they did, and they became slaves to a Pharaoh, slaves to a person that just wanted to have full control, thought he was in control of the whole world. And so they were looking, looking and longing for a savior, someone to get them out of their situation. And that goes for anyone that finds themselves or anyone that is in that same situation, that same type of state where you're just controlled by someone, you know. And so it causes dismay. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and hope deferred causes dismay. It causes despair. It causes agony, as the children of Israel were going through. It causes life to be very hard and almost unbearable. A prime example is our praying for the salvation of a loved one or a friend. And it seems it will never happen in this lifetime. The waiting causes great distress. It makes the heart sick in that to all of us, young and old, we're not fond of the waiting game. The waiting game is very hard to do. It's hard to, as my husband says, hold on to what you got until you get what you want. I can remember as a young child, we would have calendars to mark off the days, the 365 days to Christmas. And that was a long time, as I said, for a kid. That was a long time for us. And after a while, even that became too much, you know, with life and school and all that other stuff, and you running home, and, you know, you don't think about having time to mark off a calendar. And so we just throw up our hands and forget it. However, we always made sure that our lists were ready for the time when our parents would pop that question. And still, we had to wait. For those that don't believe in Santa, okay. I believe in Santa Claus because his name was on my gifts. Every last one of them. And there is a North Pole, Alaska, so you'll have to Google it. I found out as I was homeschooling William, and one of the kids in his homeschooling group asked about the North Pole. And I said, well, let's look it up. And sure enough, there's a North Pole, Alaska. Did you know that? Anybody know it? Really look it up. And Santa is the mayor of the city. And the mayor of the city is the pastor. Or at that time, he was the pastor of the church at that time. So look it up. There is a North Pole, Alaska. Now, in waiting patiently and confidently, as taught in Romans 8:25, we learn that God's grace alone is sufficient to carry us through as we wait patiently, expectantly for our desire to be fulfilled. And it is sweet to the soul. Psalm 13:19 says that in the first verse. It says that our desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. Now part two of the scripture says that when the desire comes. How many of you have been watching The Chosen? No one? Have you ever heard of it? Oh yeah, you've got to look at it. That program is awesome, and it's a series that program is awesome. And I found it so fascinating that I'm loving it next to my criminal shows. I shared with our CEF prayer team the first episode, which involved the shepherds and their encounter with the baby Jesus. One of the shepherds, as he was holding the baby, said, this is what we've been waiting for. The scene of them running from the field with the sheep after the angel had made the announcement for them to go and see the baby in a manger. They went tearing across the field to see what it was that had been prophesied over the years. Simeon and Anna prayed to see God's promised one, and their hope was fulfilled. Simeon said, now I can depart peacefully after seeing what it is that was promised to us for years and years and years. It was over 400 years that the children of Israel had even heard from the Lord. They thought he had stopped speaking. But there was just a silence. And the silence was deafening. They had no other prophet to speak to them except for John the Baptist, who came after Malachi. And he was considered the last of the Old Testament prophets, because he was the one that announced the coming of the Lord. Prepare ye the way. When Jesus hit the scene, he said, behold, look, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of sin, who taketh away the sin of the world. He was the last one to usher in the presence of our God and King, and that was Jesus Christ. When hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, the Bible says it is a tree of life. Galatians 4:4 reads, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of God. John 1:12 tells us that when we believe on Jesus Christ, we become a part of the family of God. God the Father has taken us in as his children, and Jesus Christ is our elder brother. This is what we've been waiting for, and so many have been looking for and have found peace in Jesus Christ, who has come to save us. Jesus is our tree of life. Every word that is spoken in the Bible, every word that comes from Jesus, it is life to us. It causes us to be regenerated. It causes us to be renewed. It causes us to be revived. It causes us to have peace. It causes us to have love. Love not just for one another, but love for the surrounding world, a lost and dying world. It causes us to want to go out and reach out and share that same love that Jesus has. It causes us to look down on someone lying by the wayside, needing help, and reaching out and saying, here, I will help you. Not only will I help you, but I'll give you Jesus. He is to be given away. He is the tree of life. When he is planted within us, he spreads his branches. He spreads out every bit of fruit and every bit of food that people need in order to live this life and to have the life to come. Jesus is our tree of life. We can go to him and find safety. We can go to him and find refuge. We can go to him and find rest. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is our tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, talking about Jesus, when Jesus comes, he is the tree of life. Think back on the garden. When Adam and Eve were given the mandate, or Adam was given the mandate, that he could eat any tree in the garden. You could have fruit from anywhere. You could eat from anywhere. But the tree in the midst of the garden did not touch. Yes, you will die, lest you will die. And sure enough, that happened. And the Lord God said, we need to remove them from where it is, lest they reach for the tree of life. for his time hadn't come yet. And that tree of life was Jesus Christ. Have you received Jesus in your life today? Is he a tree of life living within you that others might come and eat freely and receive what it is that God has for us? Have you talked to the Lord and said, Lord, I want you in my life. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn away from it and I turn to you because I want life everlasting. He is that tree that gives everlasting life. And he wants us to have that, not just everlasting life, but life more abundantly while we are here, so that we can show others the way to the tree of life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So if we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we must go out into a lost and dying world and let the world know that there is one who can save you. There is one who can redeem you. There is one who can mend your relationship with the Father. Come, because there is one. And if you've not received him, take a moment where you are to ask the Lord to come in and save your soul, save your life, that you might live and have eternity with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for all it is that you do for us, for your word that has come to us, dear God. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Thank you for the tree of life that we have received and that we can give to others. In Jesus' name, amen.